Finally, the Southland, Monday, February 26, 2024. Let's start at the top, gentlemen. Let's talk about a interview that a local, I think it was a local radio station, if I'm not mistaken, that Paul Johnson, or that they did with Paul Johnson, excuse me, this past weekend, in honor of his induction to, I believe, the Georgia State Sports Hall of Fame.
The
Yeah,
Georgia
yeah.
State Hall of Fame, not the Georgia State Hall of Fame. He did coach at Southern and Tech,
Yes.
which are, the opposites of those.
A lot of interesting nuggets, nonetheless. Like a lot of interesting little pieces. I want to ask both of you what your most, I guess, let's see, what interested you the most, Jack, from this interview?
I think for a lot of us, we always had just some thought or suspicion, and I think it was pretty reliable to think that Paul and Jeff never exactly got along, considering how Jeff treated his predecessor publicly at spots. But we never really heard Paul's side of all that kind of stuff. He, what I think was smart to just kind of not talk about it while he was at school, and then when he came back during the North Carolina game, got to feel at home again. And I think it was really notable how he mentioned that he knew he wasn't welcome on campus by the team. Like the first day he showed back up to get some training, he basically realized the players were scared to death that he was even there because the tenor had changed tremendously, which really sucks. Like he wanted to come back and just kind of hang out, and we never gave him that ability or privilege, which kind of sucks because he did so much for the institute. So that was really enlightening to hear. It's kind of funny how they get into it. Also, just like the interviewers are like, we don't want to like ask you too much. They're like, nah, just go ahead. Just go ahead. And then they just go all in and it all comes rolling out.
Yeah, I think, and granted, shame on me for letting my opinions be a little bit enticed by Twitter and being like, ooh, maybe there's some beef. Honestly, like, it just made me sad for the most part. Like,
Yeah.
I'm sure there's this feeling that a lot of tech fans can like relate to, and that, I don't know. In hindsight, I feel like I got kind of duped. I think everyone was on some level a little excited or hopeful. Not necessarily in a disparaging way, but just in like, oh, ooh, like maybe this is fun and different. And that kind of grated on most or some pretty fast, some less fast. But I don't know. Like, man,
It makes you feel
hopefully.
bad. Yeah. It makes you feel bad for Paul too, a lot more
Yeah, that's what I'm
because,
saying. I'm not saying a pity party for me. I'm
right.
saying, like, geez, like the dude was here for 11 years. He's got more wins than just about anybody that's, I mean, I don't want to say more than just about any coach, because it's fairly easy to rack them up in softball when you play 60 games of the year in a way that you just can't do in football unless you coach for 100 years. Robo Heisman. No, like it just bummed me out a little bit more than like, I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's him dunking on anyone. It's just a little,
No, I think
I don't,
it's
just
just
a
ref
little sad.
yeah, no, it's just a reflection of how he felt during that time, which was had which I think we were all really interested in knowing just because it was such a stark contrast to what was happening in the 2019 and 2022 era. So, I think yeah, if anything, it's just more enlightening. I guess I'm glad it's off his shoulder too, if that matters. If he was waiting to get that out, because that and he never said any of that publicly for a long time, but he did now.
I want to make sure we get the source in here as well. Sports Radio 93.1. It's the Bill Shanks show. It's the interview is from the 23rd of February. We'll probably put the link to this in the show notes so you can check it out if you have not heard it already. Like I said, a lot of tidbits in there.
There's a lot, yeah. I would just go listen to it, and you'll develop your own opinions before you take what we said to as gospel to this, because everyone's got a different angle on how they felt and experienced those two eras.
Let's move on. I think there is a lot to get to this week. All of our spring sports were in action. We had some championship events as well, but let's start on the basketball court. Let's talk about women's basketball. Two games this week and two losses, unfortunately, against Teams that were, let's say, a wide bit apart on the spectrum. Number 20, Louisville came to town. That was an 80-62 loss. And then were quickly followed by Wake Forest. That was a 71-66 loss. Wake had, if I remember correctly, one ACC win before this and maybe 5 wins on the season total.
Correct.
It was not a particularly good performance in that one. Jack, you were on site for the Wake Forest game here. What do you have on this one?
Just pure embarrassment. That's it. They got out hustled for all but one quarter, and they play four. So when you only play one quarter hard enough to win a quarter, that's usually going to lose you a game. And Wake Forest had people scoring. I mean, our defense allows people to score. Happened against Louisville, happened against Wake. Both teams had 31 point scorers in both respective games. In both press conferences, Nell, I think the best word I came up with, I was talking to Maggie Doster, who was helping me write one of the recaps, and I was just like, they just look despondent. Like, I think Nell, she loves this team, but I think she's kind of at a loss now for what it's going to take to get them to play at a higher level that they have done before, but it's spotty at best.
And that's the thing. Like NC State was a week ago. That's a really good team. They
Right.
played competitively. Granted, that kind of, NC State's good enough that you can't really blame Tech for, letting them or ha allowing them to score late in games. Like that's just going to happen against a great team, especially in their own building. Louisville, again, good team. 18 points, a little bit of a wide delta from where we've seen this team play. But I mean, the Wake Forest loss, I would say, is borderline unexcusable. It's,
Oh,
maybe
it
not
is.
going to
It
get quite the press of like Tech losing in men's basketball to a terrible Louisville team, but I think it might be worse. I don't have the nitty gritty for Wake Forest pulled up, but I mean, nothing about their roster screams competitive ACC roster, and you just cannot lose that game. And I had a related conversation yesterday with Akshay about Chicago Blackhawks hockey, and I promise this is related, but on a night that you
Oh,
retire
hold on, no,
Chris
no.
Chelly,
Before you set this up, it was less of a conversation and more
and
of
more of a rant.
catharsis for one of us,
You
hopefully.
cannot, lose to Patrick Kane's Detroit Red Wings in your own building on the night you retire Chris Chelios's jersey. Translation for those who do not follow
That
Upper
was funny.
Midwest hockey: Patrick Kane led the Blackhawks to 3 Stanley Cup titles and was the Golden Wonder Boy draft pick, a la your Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard type player. He comes back with your arch rivals who were moved out of your conference by conference realignment, which that's a whole nother, bucket of bolts right there that we cannot get into. But Chris Chelios famously defected from the Blackhawks to the Red Wings. All this to say, you cannot lose senior night, senior day, senior afternoon, whatever games at home to the worst team that your league has seen in quite a long time. You cannot do that. Like there, we kind of hedged the beginning of the year's results with saying, okay, this team's only lost to teams that are quote unquote better than them in the metrics. Yeah, taking care of business is good. Taking care of business gets you to the WNIT, which I believe is still a 64 team event in its current format. You should be making that at the very least, is a WNIT bid. You just can't do this to Wake. Is that a fair thing to say? I don't want to be harsh, boys.
I think you are not harsh enough, honestly. Yeah.
Wow, Jack, usually I'm more harsh on this team than you are,
Well,
so.
I let
Well,
me quote
I
myself
haven't
here.
said anything today on the women's basketball.
That's a good point. Yeah, what hold on. Let me look at my pull up my recap here on FromTheRumbleSeat.com. To quote myself personally, I've emotionally closed the book on this season. I'll be watching because I'm endlessly hopeful about Tech and refuse to miss the moment, a potentially great moment, but this was the nail in the. I don't think they will win another game this year, basically,
I
is what
mean,
I'm
for
saying.
all intents and purposes, looking at their next fixtures, they have two guaranteed ones on the schedule, right? They play at Miami on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's the end of the regular season, and then they will start in the first round of the ACC tournament.
Yes,
It,
where they
it's
will have like a 50-50 shot at playing Wake Forest again.
It is difficult to foresee a deep tournament run. And so I think they might beat Pitt and Wake Forest. I hope they beat Pitt or Wake Forest, whoever comes out of the lower game. But it is difficult for me to foresee them going further in the ACC tournament than that, than getting to the opening round, basically, instead of the play-in games. So,
I'm looking at net right now, and Wake Forest and Pitt are Wake's at 134, Pitt's at 155. They're both under 10 wins. There's only like five teams that are under 10 wins in the top 200, which is not exactly impressive in any ways. But we're 75th right now, 74th, which puts us next behind Texas Tech and ahead of Eastern Washington.
I've got good news. That's mediumly WNIT caliber.
All right, well,
Hooray.
there you go. So, yeah, I mean, I hear here's what matters. Here's what matters to me now. I said I don't think we'll win another game. I sure as hell hope we do. I'm not going to go into it hoping we lose. We're 15 and 14 right now. We're
Yeah, this
already.
isn't a tanking situation, to be clear.
Yeah. I
This is
think you do
a
still have to be above 500. Let's be clear. yes.
Like
So what? Yeah.
you're
So
gonna
I'm
need
getting.
to you're gonna need to take care of some holding serve here,
What I'm getting
you know.
to is we've already won two more games than we won last year. Two more conference games than we've won last year. Which is not much, but it's we're not gonna finish. There is still a way we finish under 500. We just need to win one game, and we will not finish under 500 this year. So winning one is extremely crucial to me. You
So,
guys gotta
something
win
about
one.
bars and floors is where I'm at, you know? I can only remember the U.S. men's national team in Trinidad and Tobago in 2017, but I think that's where I'm going to leave that thought. Let's move on to the men's.
Don't bring that devil stuff
I
on me
mean,
again, sir.
Miami's a reasonably enough. It's going to be a tough game, but it's a quad two game. You know, season's not over yet, I suppose. It's not over. It's just got two games left in it. Let's put it that way.
Also, I just realized something first that kind of goes exactly towards what we said at the beginning. I want you guys to guess, and if you're looking at this, you know, shame on me for the bad content, but I want you to guess what Tech's combined record is against net teams in quad one, 1 through 25.
Both men's and women's.
No, just the women.
It's Owen a lot.
0 and
Oh, and
6 in quad
ten.
one, 0 and
Yeah, okay.
6. You want to take a guess at quad two?
Like
4-0.
at best two and something.
0 and 6. They
Oh,
are
okay.
0 and 6 against both Womp
the net 1 through 25 and 26 through 50, but they're 5-1 against 51 through 100 and 10-1 against 101 plus. I mean, yesterday was, you know, one of
womp.
the was the one like 101 plus loss, but I mean, they have held serve. For what it is worth, I guess to my own, you know, to my own air Chagrin.
there. But yeah, for the most part, they've held serve against teams that they're quote unquote better than. It just makes for a long slog of an ACC slate.
Speaking of ACC slates, let's move over to the men's side and let's talk about a similarly frustrating loss at, or actually, this is at home versus Clemson, an 87-51 smackdown. I want to read a quote from Chad Bishop's article, if I can find it. I can't, but the synopsis, and I think this was an exact quote from Damon Sotomayor when in the postgame presser, is that he felt that his team quit in the last 8 minutes of the game. You never really want to hear a coach use the Q word to describe a performance unless he's talking about the opponent. This was not particularly competitive. Tech trailed by 12 at the half, and it never got closer than that. So a rough, rough day at the office. Little bit of an upside to this one. The next game was at Miami, an 80-76 win. One of these close games that finally went Tech's way, and on the road too. So that's a nice pickup. Jake, over to you. Do you have any notes on these two games?
I mean, not particularly. I think Clemson was quite motivated for a win. I mean, they basically took control early. and never looked back. Tech did defeat them in unlikely and embarrassing fashion on their home court. So perhaps this is the yin to that yang, but that's about all I got on the Clemson game. As for Miami, it's a win. It's something they needed, a good result on the road. Again, excellent. I do want to reemphasize that before I say, going on a 6 minute and 23 scoring drought to almost lose the game after being up 13 late is really not the move, and I think is somewhat emblematic of this team this year. Just, great play in spurts, but man, when they go cold, they go real cold, whether that's turnovers or missing shots or, defensive things, not being able to break press. That's something that we've noticed in a couple games. But just summing it up, they got the win. That's what counts. But whew, it was a real uncomfy there late.
Jack, I know you have the quotes from the post game.
Yes, I'm just going to go through the five that Chad put up on Twitter because they were all relevant. Quote from Damon: one of those games where I felt our group thought it was going to be easy. We came out, hit threes, which, this is Jack now, they hit like, both teams combined for like six threes in a row. It was kind of insane. Back to Damon. We came out, hit threes, they hit threes, and it's like, man, the game don't play like that. We forgot the game plan. When you forget the game plan against a team like Clemson, they pound you. When you're on the other side, like I was tonight, you just want to see who's got a competitive spirit. And for me, the last 8 minutes of the game, I just felt like we quit. I told the guys the reason I do what I do when I get up every day is to try and help you guys be successful, is because when we go into the record books at Georgia Tech, the record books still going to print what they're going to print. You don't want to be known as the losing team. And then the big one here. Wait, no. And then I'm going to skip to the next one. Skip one, go to the big one. When I get my guys up here, it's going to be different. I'm all right with saying that because my type of guy, whether he's making a bucket, whether he's not making a bucket, he's going to have pride in playing it for the front of the jersey and the back each and every day. End quote.
The funny part is that Chad, in his actual article, he says, quote, "Technically speaking, the majority of Tech's roster is made up of guys that Stoudemire
Yes. I
signed,"
mean,
end quote, which is,
and
and he puts it right after that quote from Damon about not having his guys, which I found, it very
one of the
much so
guys
tickled
he
me.
didn't is his godson. So I feel like that has to mediumly count, at
It
least.
I think at best for me that it kind of sort of does, but not a lot to me.
I get the point that he's
Right,
making,
yeah.
though. I understand. I am, it is, not to get everyone uncomfortable, but it is kind of a Jeffism to
Yeah.
say, once I get,
Well, I don't want to. Well, I let let's let
there are
let's not throw
problems with
the
the
let's not
old
throw the bad guy in
regime.
this one. This Pitino and Penny Hardaway has said the exact same thing in the last week and a half as well. Like this kind
And
of
I didn't like it then either.
noted
like
comment.
it's
I
if
didn't like it then
this is
either.
a
Hold on.
recent basketball trend of good teams with famous coaches not being proud of the guys that they put on the court.
To be fair, one of those things is not like the
Yes,
other
yes, yes.
in college
Fair.
basketball
Absolutely.
coaching. So let's get that one straight. But and I think I get his point, right? Like he's saying a lot to say like this is going like this era is going to be different. This is going to be a temporary thing. Like once we build, once we're cohesive, once we have a plan in place, things will be different. And he has to say some of these things, right? And he also has to chew his team out for what is a dumpster fire performance, all considered. To the point about Clemson being very good, they're 23rd in net, right? They're 19-8 on the season. They will almost assuredly make the tournament, barring some Brad Brunell stupidity.
I would like to apologize to Wake Forest women's basketball. I did forget that Louisville men's basketball is number 206 in the country in the net, which I'm also looking at because I also have the net up. Clemson women's basketball is like 134, which I believe is slightly better than Georgia Tech men's basketball right now. So, my apologies to the general slandering of the Wake Forest women's basketball program about 10 minutes back in the show.
Men's basketball 138 in net, by the way.
Yeah.
Tech men's
Yeah.
basketball. Ooh, okay, great, great functional basketball programs we have here. Next on the fixture list, actually final on the fixture list for men's basketball, a Saturday, 2nd of March date with FSU at noon. That will be on ESPN2. Jack, any other notes before we move on?
I forgot to throw this in the doc because we had about 6,000 lines of notes from this document today. But we did get our first 2025 commit today. Brandon Storrs Jr. It's a freshman. He's a four star though. He's a wing, which hey, this is just adds to the list of like notable guys that Damon has managed to get commits from. And now it's extended its.
I do want to point out that this is much like our conversation of the recent softball signing day, in that those recruits are not coming next year. They're coming the year after, which is a decent bit of time away. So it's not like immediate help, but in terms of others that we've seen for 24, I mean,
I think
it shows
I've.
recruiting wins in ways that we really haven't seen too much in previous regimes. So I'll take it. It's just, man, I wish it was coming next year, you know?
Those softball ones were a little bit of both because two of them are here.
But the huge class, you know the one I'm talking about.
Well, that leads very nicely into talking about softball next, who had a 7-0 week hosting the I-75 Challenge. Georgia State 9-4 win, UNC Greensboro a 14-7 win versus Army Robert Morris in another game versus UNC Greensboro. All three of those were wins. And then a 6-4 doubleheader versus Ball State. Jack, these look like good scores. These look like really good offensive output. Give me the details here.
It is that they kept we noticed we just kind of hit like crazy in Clearwater. Everyone was hitting in Clearwater, and I think this was good to see that that was not just a weird one-off thing that happened because we happened to be playing in the weirdest state in the country named Florida. It translated to Mewbourne, which is really good to see. In a lot in a few of these games, especially Georgia State, Ball State, we needed late runs to clinch the deal. So we've had clutch hitting in the midst of all this. We've had dominant hitting in the midst of all this. I'm going to read off some just factual notes that are basically put into context where this offensive performance has been. We're 17 games through. We just finished an 11 game multi home run streak that ended in the final Ball State game. That was the third longest under the Eileen Morales tenure. Or no, sorry, sorry. The 11 game multi homer streak was the longest ever the program's ever had. We're on a 9-game home win streak. That's the third longest
Jack,
ever.
those are two different things.
I just said I clarified. Why are you getting my grill? We're at 34 homers in 17 games. That's three shy of the most we've had since 2010, which is the infamous Jen Yee year where she had 29 home runs by herself and basically broke every record known to man on campus. Mallory Black has seven right now. That's her career high, or ties for her career high, which she set last year in a whole season. We're only 17 games and they play like 50 something. She's got the most in 16 games since Jen Yee had 10 through 16 games. Vukadinovic is hitting 500. No one's hit 500 through 17 games since Jen Yee. Madison Diamond's on a 6-game hitting streak. Ella Edgman on a 9-game on base streak. And our pitching got a little bit better. And it was because of our what we thought were the third and fourth starters, Kinsey Norton and Sophia Voiles, which was very nice to see.
I think this was a good get right weekend, right? I'm sure Jake is about to say the exact same thing, right? Like, this is the after you get absolutely demolished at Clearwater, and to be fair, one of those games was very close and walked off. I want to make sure I get that in there. But after you face the teeth of the tiger at Clearwater, for lack of a better term, you come home, you play seven games, you play a lower caliber competition and sort of reset. Right, you get some confidence in your pitching, you continue your hot hitting streak, and you get reset for I think ACC play starts basically next weekend.
Yeah, the only team on that list that was remotely close to competent last year was UNC Greensboro. Like, they needed to be handling these teams, and it's a good thing they did. It feels irrational sometimes to say, you know, oh, baseball or softball, we expect a 5-0 week or 7-0 week or whatnot. But this is the time of year when that needs to happen. The only reason that this team is, you know, at a 10-7, and not something like a 10-10 is, or I guess a 10-9 is because two very, very spooky games got canceled. I'm very interested to see how this plays out in terms of adjusted RPI coming up here, because we're probably about a week out from when they usually, I think the first one last year was March 5th, but Tech's taken losses against good teams. I worded that specifically because I don't believe that they're all necessarily good losses, in terms of the transitive of those words being mixed around. But I mean, we've seen it before. You can make it into a regional as a low two, high three seed, just stacking up wins when you need to. And this was a stacking week, which was extremely needed. Again, nothing terribly out of the ordinary or so far this year. Maybe you'd like to see a little bit more distance in those Sunday games, the 6-4 pair against Ball State. But
Those
I
were
mean,
weird. They started that game at 9 a.m. on Sunday. And there
yeah.
was one, and I on the eight, the
That's
eight,
some breakfast softball right
the
there.
ACC network feed had just the one camera behind home plate. They didn't even field a whole camera crew for that like they did the other games. Yeah.
Everyone gets some sleep, you know.
Which is probably fine because there was a lot of games up until that day, so I don't blame them for not doing that.
But also, it was their sixth and seventh game in 4 days. That's a
And
lot of
is
time at the field.
they
Like,
played a, yeah, they played a crap ton of softball and did some good work. I was just looking at the season stats stuff. We're 21 for 22 in stolen base attempts.
that's good. Got to be
That has
efficient in
been
those.
something interesting. I have enjoyed this team being aggressive on the base paths. They did it a lot last year, and I'm glad that it's coming back and a part of their offense. They just need to cash those in as runs, right?
Yeah.
So.
Gents, I have a game I want to circle, and it's going to be super obvious as soon as I say it, but can I kind of zoom out in terms of the next two week look?
Let's go.
Go for it.
All right. They're going to Athens, March 13th. I want to circle that game for two reasons. One, because 2 years ago, Georgia Tech went into Athens and beat the brakes off that team. And it's how we kind of saw that they were good and moving in the right direction. Very much
It
a
was
prove-it
such a
game.
funny game.
It
It was
was one of
great.
the most cathartic sporting events I've ever
It
watched.
was so funny.
It was
It was
awesome.
so. Oh,
But
it ripped. It absolutely ripped.
in the meantime, Georgia Tech has five more straight home games, which I believe puts them at 12 in a row by the time that's all said and done, against Mercer, a Pitt team that was fine, but definitely not tournament caliber last year. And then Jacksonville State. And then they go on the road to NC State in Raleigh, a team that's been, again, competitive, but not tournament quality to meh the last couple of years. If they want to make moves in the ACC, dare I say, they need to be riding some sort of reasonable and meaningful momentum going into Athens on the 13th due to a pretty favorable schedule between now and then, and dare I say one that they have, some fairly decent odds of again stacking up some of those wins.
Let me
So
riddle you this. How many losses could they take within that 2 week stretch before that game in Athens for you to still say that they are on the right track to make moves in the ACC?
okay, have we talked about meatloaf theory before?
I believe we have, but every podcast is someone's first.
Okay, so again, we're gonna go with a Chicago sports reference. I remember when Joe Maddon took over as manager of the Chicago Cubs, he had all these weird phraseology, idioms, and things like that, and he was really big on at one point when people were kind of getting down early on him, saying, the meatloaf, the two out of three ain't bad reference to the meatloaf song, two out of three ain't bad. I feel like I'm somewhere between a reasonable two out of three ain't bad in terms of results in those ACC series and sweeps. I would prefer perfection, don't we all? But I think, especially given context, and context is what's so important here. And we'll talk about that in baseball here in a minute. Sometimes it's how you lose. I think that can give you the taste going away. If you're losing or like playing maybe a Ball State team close, oh, but it was Sunday at 9 a.m., you say, after playing seven games in 4 days. I think that's a pretty reasonable result, even if it's not necessarily the one that if you were going on paper with perfect rest and full availability, you might want to see. Is that a fair enough hedge? I think a 5-1 ACC start would be really a good sign. 4-2, acceptable. But I mean, ideally, if you want to be in a place where you're setting yourself up well, not just in the ACC bracket, but in a place where you're not getting sent to a murderer's row in a regional, like you gotta toe the line there, right? It's one of those where like, oh yeah, Villanova's a solid team, losing close to Alabama, those are not bad results. But at some point, like it's the margins that turn a season into a tournament season, or a tournament season into, okay, we got a pretty fair draw here. Let's see what we could do. And I think if we're zooming out a little bit further, rewinding, I guess is a better way to put it. We kind of saw that play out with volleyball, right? They didn't, they had a really successful year, 17th implied seed in the country. Awesome. But you're having to go into someone else's building and then face what we thought was, the best team on the planet at the time. So it is that a fair way to catch that statement?
No, it is, but I still want you to put a number to it. So if I put the over under, no, I
One.
know you said under
One.
two.
Sweep
Okay.
one, go
One.
2 out of 3 in the other. I think that's reasonable. I'd be fine enough with two series wins, but if you can go 5-1, I
I
think
would.
you're building a base against those teams that theoretically you match up pretty well against, right?
Look, I was going to give you a nice over under of, and set it at 3 or
Oh
two and a
no, you
half,
cannot lose
but.
to those
But
series. You cannot lose
okay.
to those series.
Okay,
Jack, is
so
that a fair
over under two
statement?
and a half.
Yeah, two is my max for that
Yeah.
question. Okay.
I wouldn't be
I can.
happy per se with two, but losing a series to those teams, you're putting yourself in a hole and it's just going to get harder from there.
Makes sense to me. Like Jake said, Wednesday versus Mercer for softball, and then the weekend series at home will be versus Pitt. I imagine all of those will be streaming on ACC Network Extra, so catch those live when they happen. We'll be back to talk about baseball, both tennis teams, swim and dive, and oh my God, so much more back after this short break.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it brief tonight. I was back on campus Saturday, and I was wearing my Section 103 with the baseball lettering across the chest. I got a lot of very nice inquiries about where I got that. And of course, I told the people section103.com, they're shipping again. Free shipping is for orders over $70, but it's about that time of year. Whether you're still thinking in the back of your mind that it might get cold again, which here in Atlanta, it very much could. That Tech Zip hoodie is a must-wear part of my current rotation. And there's also some great Georgia Tech script, the baseball and softball script across the chest in short and three-quarter sleeve lengths. Go and check them out. Section103.com and Section103 on Twitter.
Welcome back to Signs of the Southland for the 26th of February, 2024. Let's talk about the second week of Georgia Tech baseball for 2024. 3-1 on the week overall, two wins versus Cornell at the weekend, and a midweek win over Georgia Southern, but a Sunday loss to Cornell 11-4. Not a particularly good pitching performance from Mason Patel, who lasted, I believe, 4 innings. Before getting pulled for Dawson Brown. Just a very, it's just a very weird week because you get these three nice wins, especially that rivalry kind of game win down in Statesboro. And then you end the week on a bit of a tough note, wouldn't you say, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough way to end it. I think Saturday was one of the more satisfying, just solid performances. A win on the road in Statesboro is a good win, especially in this sport. Southern's a good program, and as I recall, they're the top drawing crowd in terms of the state of Georgia's baseball program. So, kind of the first road test. It's just tough. And again, this is kind of where I was getting at with softball, is sometimes context plays into it. Cornell, of course, you want to sweep every weekend. Like that's what every sport person associated with, whether they're a fan or a coach or whatnot or player, you want to win every game you play. But 11-4, game that was just steadily more and more out of reach, I think is how I would describe it. And again, wiser minds may differ, but man, It's just tough. I mean, if it's a close loss, maybe I'm a little bit more like, baby in bath water type situation. But it felt like Tech wasn't lucky in this game in a way that like hard hit balls weren't finding their way through. A lot of runners left on base, but 11 runs is also quite a fair amount to give up, to your point about pitching to contact and whatnot.
Jack, anything from you on this week in baseball?
I did go to the Friday game, and the clutch, we had some nice clutch hitting there. Drew Burris is just awesome to watch play. He's got great energy. He's loving it out there right now. We had another weekend where wind was a factor that probably kept some balls in. Actually, there was one double that got just kept getting blown towards right field, and with how it bounced with the wind, it got put over. That would have had some more runs had that not happened. I'm glad Saturday was just absolute just killer day. Losing only one out of these four, I think you would have said if we lost to Georgia Southern, you wouldn't have been surprised. Which I think so. And from that perspective, it's like, okay, one, I'm not worried at all here. It sadly, we did have the one disastrous pitching day, but then we only had one disastrous pitching day. So there is that. But that is sadly progress for this team right now.
But other than that, Miss Lincoln, how was the play?
Well,
Well, and I think Tuesday was that nice compliment to Sunday, though. Like Tech
right.
trailed most of the game, but they kept it within reach, and then they got a couple really timely hits and really laid it on there at the end. And
Yeah.
it's kind of like they felt similar in vibe, but completely opposite in result.
No, totally. Yeah, we were only up. We were down. We had at bottom seven. Most of our runs in that, or our big runs in Friday came after this in the seventh inning and later. The what happened there? If we the bases cleared triple by what's his face? Sorry, I forgot his name already.
Burris was a
Burris.
double, right?
Burris hit the double, and then the eighth, Peyton Green hit a bomb. John Gieseler hit a bomb. And we nearly scored some more, if not for Tomar's lack not being able to get in. So they're doing well. I'm not terribly worried. I forgot who's left next on the schedule. If so, oh, I see it here. Oh, Athens. Crap.
Yes, buddy. It is a full week of in-state rivalry here. Starting on the 27th versus Georgia State. That's a 4 p.m. first pitch at ACC Network Extra. And then the weekend series versus Athens Community College, March 1st at 6 p.m. That's at home in Atlanta on ACC Network Extra. And then away in Athens, that's March 2nd. That's a 2 p.m. first pitch on SEC Network Plus. And then the rubber match in. What is that? Still at the Stryper Stadium up in Gwinnett this year. Unfortunate that it's not back at SunTrust, but it is what it is. We've been crowing about that for 4 years now, I think. But that is a March 3rd, 3 p.m. kick or first pitch. No stream for that one, which is bizarre.
I was going to say, I would like to insert my annual, this is silly, this should be back at Truist, commentary there, just because drawing, upwards of 25,000 people to a college baseball game rules. It's special, and it's much closer to where a lot of us live. That's
I personally, it's a tough sell for me to drive all the way out to Gwinnett on a
on a
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah.
Also, I'm
Yep.
not in town this Sunday, so it's an even tougher sell.
All
But
right.
that's
Well,
besides the point.
no, I don't know. It's fine venue up in Lawrenceville, but I just miss it, man. And a Sunday afternoon battery plus baseball sounds ideal. But
Well, I think you raise a good point. I think you raise a good point, especially this year, because I think over the last couple of years, we've seen the proliferation of those, like, basically the mini, like, Maui
mini
style
regional type
tournaments.
deal.
And yeah, like the mini Maui regional style tournaments in other parts of the country. I know Virginia was at one this past week that they won.
The
There was one
Rangers are
that Iowa
hosting
was playing in too.
3 weeks in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good setup for. Yeah, sure, you have some operating expenses, but at the end of the day, it's also a good setup for both the major league club, which gets revenue in a time which their facility would not be being used. And also, it's a good setup for these teams to come play other competitive teams in a pro ballpark and bring a ton of fans, right? Like it's just, especially given how good of an experience that 2019 game was,
Oh my
it
gosh.
is, and then it effectively going away, one, probably because of COVID, two, probably because of operating expenses, and
Ski
three,
jump.
obviously,
Ski
most
jump.
importantly, the ski
Ski
jump
jump.
that screwed up the outfield at SunTrust Park that winter of 2020. It's disappointing. It's continually frustrating. I know we say this every year. I know we say this twice a year, honestly, because we say it when the series comes around and when the schedule comes out. But it is still frustrating given how fun of an environment it is when you're sitting in a bro ballpark watching a rivalry game, and it has, even if the upper deck is closed, it still has the atmosphere of a regional game. There's bite to it. There's intensity. That's the point of a rivalry, and it just sucks that the rubber match can't be that kind of event, if that makes sense.
Truist Park has no shortage of companies and people wanting to do their private events there. They could make $1 under with a lot less work than throwing out a
Which is
baseball. It's
probably what
fun,
they're
Jack.
choosing to
Yeah,
do.
I
It's
know.
not as fun.
It's not as fun, but I mean, from a ballpark operations perspective, they are easily finding ways to make money with the space without necessarily having to actually play baseball in the space.
Well, that's not
It's
fun.
tough. Yeah, it's
I know.
tough. It's one of those things that where the business, like, it makes sense from a business perspective, but from like a normal person, non-MBA brain perspective, it sucks. Let's move over to the tennis court. The number 39 by the ITA men's tennis team was in action this week after being off for a couple weeks. Two wins this week, a 4-3 versus UNC Wilmington. And then a 7-0 decision versus Mercer. Picked up the doubles win in the Mercer match, but not in the UNCW match, but held very well in both singles sessions. Jake, what do you got on this for me? Color in the lines for me here.
Yeah, I don't have too much, to be honest. I did feel inspired to go check out the ITA rankings because I noticed on the live scoring app that Georgia Tech was listed as being number 33 in the country. And guess what? This is that magical time of year when they expanded the top 25 to a top 75 for some reason. Georgia Tech does slot in that top 40. Pretty nicely, I'd say. In terms of the actual, results, the sausage getting made, 4-3 against UNC Wilmington is a little tight. They did lose the doubles point though. That was a 6-4, 6-3 decisions. Never super awesome to see your number 32 in the country ranked team that was McDaniel and Chopra on one fall. So not ideal there, but Tech did get it done, and they got things done against Mercer as well. I mean, 7-0, pretty solid finish there. And just for some a little bit of additional context, Georgia Tech does head into ACC play next. The ACC is very spooky in tennis, and they're currently sitting at 9-2. So they've stacked the wins. Now they need to I suppose bail water against what is
Yeah.
certainly a gauntlet the rest of the way.
This next stretch is not fun to look at because we have to go to everybody in North Carolina.
So I just want to go through the rankings of the four Tobacco Road schools, and I'll hit other ACC along the way. Wake Forest is currently sitting at number three.
Oh, fun.
Virginia, also in our lovely conference, is sitting at number seven. You've also got Duke at 13. You've got Florida State at 19, NC State at 20. Honestly, I'm kind of shocked we haven't run into North Carolina yet. Did I skip them?
No, I
Doesn't look
checked
like I have.
not ranked.
Wow. Okay.
That
And
is
Louisville's also
shocking.
29, by the way, in terms of
No,
people
I
that
thought
are
I
in
was
front of
wrong
us.
too. And I
But
was like, where are these guys? And I control F North
oh,
Carolina.
I found them. They're at number
Oh.
43. So thank you, rankings, for
Okay,
expanding
very
this
good.
week.
There you go. There you go. Hey, below
Wow.
us. Below
That's
us. What about that?
That's the most gettable. That team's been in a long time.
That's terrifying, legitimately terrifying. But that's who they'll start the ACC slate with. They'll be at UNC on Friday, and then Sunday they'll make the trip up to Durham to play number 13 Duke. Let's flip over to the women while we're here. The number 31 ranked women in the ITA rankings. Two wins for them as well to kick off ACC play, a 5-2 decision at Boston College, and then a 4-3 decision at Syracuse. Won the doubles point in both matches, and then four quick singles victories in the Boston College game, and then three to take the points, or to take the victory, excuse me, in the Syracuse game. Anyone have any notes on these? I don't know. Pretty straightforward. Nice, clean wins to start the ACC slate to me.
Yeah, I would generally agree. Syracuse is one that I think deserves a little bit of shine there. But Boston College, we've talked about the trials and travails of their non-revenue sports program up there. But Syracuse has generally put together a reasonably solid organization year over year. This year, they're all the way down at 65 since rankings expanded. It's a little bit lower than we've seen them in the past, but they're generally a little bit plucky. So I do commend Georgia Tech for, opening ACC play strong. You probably needed two wins, but going into someone else's building and getting a W, I think that's worth noting there. I was kind of clicking around the rankings and checking stuff out. I did want to point out that we talked about Georgia Tech and the folks that Georgia Tech has played in tennis quite a bit. I do want to point out that UCF before this weekend, when they got two very low major type programs in the building and won 4-0, previously their only win on the season was against Georgia Tech. Take that as you will. I don't think that's necessarily indicative of where they're going the rest of the year, but just something to keep an eye on in terms of the old transitive win properties that we've got going on.
Good stuff. One thing that I noticed from the weekend, and actually I've been kind of noticing this the entire year on the women's side, is that the players have been wearing their national team flags on their shorts,
I
which
like
is a
that.
nice touch. That's how I found out that Scarlett Nicholson is Canadian.
Yes.
So there is that. The more you know. Anything else on tennis, either team, before we move on, gentlemen?
I think good to note that the Caroli Kate Sharapova doubles team is currently 18th in the country, and they've won both their matches, which is good to see. So, like, in terms of the highest ranked units in the tennis teams, they are that right now. Andres Martin's 22 in singles. Chopra and McDaniel are 32 in doubles for their pairing. So we'll see how that. We'll see with how that if that changes after losing to UNC Wilmington for sure. But at least we have three, and Carolee is 39th in singles. So our top guns are for the most part winning the matches they need to win. So I think just in terms of top line stuff, that's all good. That's all good to see, just something to track as the season goes along.
Good stuff. Let's flip over to the pool, this time in
Ha
Greensboro,
ha
North
ha ha.
Carolina, for the ACC Swim and Dive Championships, which were last week. Let's start off in the diving well. Max Fowler posted a bronze medal in the 1 meter dive, and Anna Bratescu a bronze in the women's platform dive over in the pool. As Jack highlights them, I'm going to read out our school records that were set in this tournament. Women's 200 free relay was a school record, a 129.74 time put together by Anna. Oh my God, I'm going to butcher this.
I remember
Anna
this. Hajaloizu.
Hajaloizu. That's what I was going to say, I'm sure. Anna Hajaloizu, Sophie Murphy, Kia Smith, and Jillian Farrar. Mackenzie Campbell set a school record with a NCAA B cut in the women's 200 IM with a 158.56 in the 50 free. You're going to have to say it again. Women's 50 free,
Hajaloizu.
Anna Hajaloisu, B cut and a school record of a 22:35 in the 400 medley relay. Sabine Bright, Brisson, Zora Rukova, Julian Farrar, and Hannah
Oh,
Hajiloisu
you
set a
got it. There you
school
go.
record of 3:35.07. And then the men's 400 free relay, an NCAA A cut, a 2:50.18, and a school record from Leandro Odorisi, David Gapinski, Ricky Baldonici, and the Bator Wunlu. Mr. Grant, anything to say on this performance in the Swim and
Yes,
Dive Championships?
this is so important because relays, you need to get a qualifying standard in order to get all of your provisional relays through to NCAAs. Yes, there's a selection process for individuals. Every podcast is someone's first. This is a lot
We
of
did a whole
every.
podcast on that
Yes,
one, by the way.
we did, because this is such a strange Byzantine sport, and we can get to some content on that in just a minute. But getting an A cut in a relay, if you want to talk about how it translates to points, is probably the single most important thing that you can do in a sport. Relays count for double points, and getting that relay squad across brings across anything else in which Tech might have a provisional standard. So very, very important. I do believe that there's a last chance meet coming up, so you
Yes.
might see some last minute attempts to grab a provisional standard in a relay or a B cut and move that up type deal. So like I said, doesn't guarantee anything at NCAAs except a lane, and that is so important, especially with the relays. If you want to have any team-based results, I think that would pivot us a little bit cleanly into our CAP rankings through the end of ACCs. We got some movement around still as things get hammered out, last chance meets, other conferences shaking things out. Georgia Tech men, though, are up to 22nd in the CAP. The women are up to 37th. Both of those are trending in the right direction. The A cut alone moved the needle quite a bit for this team. I do not want to underestimate how important that is. Relays are how you win championships. And I'm not saying Georgia Tech's going to go win NCAAs. They don't have the entries for it. But in terms of a good solid showing with some points to their name, that is super critical. Georgia Tech joins UNC, Florida State, Louisville, UVA, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina State in the top 22 of the CAP. And yes, that is eight of like the 12 teams that field a swim team currently, as the ACC currently is organized. So pretty big there. I do want to point on one other thing that I really want to chat about as a swimmer who's passionate about this issue, being a mile and 1,500 swimmer myself. Have either of you boys seen the controversy from Greensboro that closed the meet?
Oh, yes, you mentioned this, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I did hear about this, but walk this out for us.
All right. So, again, my perspective, I was a distance swimmer for a very long time. There's basically not even every meet will have the mile or the thousand. So, you don't even always get to swim the event that you're good at ACC's. NC State basically went 1-2 in the finish, and the fella who won the race got up on the lane line, fell into his teammate's lane, and was disqualified for interfering in another lane before the race was over. It did not affect his teammate. His teammate. He didn't fall into some random guy's lane. It did not affect his teammate's race. Yeah, I'm you as a again as a distance swimmer, you don't get a lot of moments, and I don't blame the guy for being excited and finally seeing a great time come down. But honestly, and this is we didn't really get to this point in results reading and whatnot. Georgia Tech's Mert Killebouce got fourth in the 16:50, the mile. I would be fascinated to hear his thoughts on the matter, because at least to my personal biases as a former distance swimmer, man, what a brutal way to get DQ'd. Spirit, letter of the law, yes. Spirit of the law, no.
On that one with Mert Killebouce, was he fourth before or after the DQ?
Oh, that's a good point. She might have
Because,
been
like, let's
fifth.
put it this way: if you have the if part of the calculus here, putting me in his shoes, if part of the calculus here is this guy got DQ'd, so I got on the podium, that probably changes how you feel about the DQ in at a certain level.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the results real quick. It is worth noting before we get super far away from the actual tech results that the women got ninth out of 11 teams. The men got ninth out of 11 teams as well. So I guess kind of maybe a hair lower than we prognosticated, but
I got it.
certainly a cut above Duke and well, Miami men don't have a swim part of their team, but and the Tech women a nice chunk of both Pittsburgh and Miami. But to answer the actual question at hand,
I have
I'm
it.
still trying to get there.
I have it. He's the fourth came after the disqualification. So he finished fifth in the physical racing of the race, but got awarded fourth.
Natural fifth, upgraded to fourth. Got
Yes,
it.
correct.
Okay, so no moral quandaries to be had there. Except maybe this weekend at the Bulldog Invite, which is the last chance to get qualifying times at the before NCAAs. That will be Friday and Saturday. So maybe question how you feel about getting an NCAA cut in an Athenian pool at your leisure. Let's flip over, or jump over, mind you, to the track and field ACC championships, which were last week as well. Jumping specifically, because Georgia Tech's Shanti Papacosta won the women's high jump. It was her second ACC title. A couple other results here as well. Eric Singleton Jr., who you may know as a wide receiver for the Georgia Tech football team, placed fourth in the 60 meters with a time of 6:68. John Watkins was fifth in the men's triple jump at 15.6 meters. Overall scores here, the women finished 12th and the men finished 13th. Jake, any thoughts on this? I don't know, like pretty straightforward to me here as well.
Yeah, I was very impressed because Eric Singleton, do you know what all ACC team he finished in football this year?
Was he second or first?
Second.
None? No
Nope.
all no all ACC? Okay.
Honorable mention. He was a freshman All-America selection by ESPN to the first team and The Athletic and On3 and 247. But yeah, honorable mention all ACC. I'm just impressed that he managed to outdo that performance with the second team All ACC finish in the men's 60 meter, which, I mean, dude is fast. Let's be real clear. And I love
I
seeing
mean, n
multi-sport
none of
athletes.
the three
So,
of us are running a 6:68 60 meters, to be clear.
no
It
way.
might I might do it in 6 minutes,
We're
but
not averaging 1.1 seconds per 10 meters. That's just, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
it's pretty absurd. It's ridiculous. And he's doing it in a second sport, right? So think about that kind of burst in a 60 meter race. Think about that kind of burst on a football field. That's why they run the 40 after all. So
Secondary sport, primary body movement, though. It's the same. It's a lot of the
that's
same
true.
stuff, just simpler.
That's true. That
Gotta go
is
fast.
very true. Okay, Sonic. Let's move over to men's golf. They were at the Watersound Invitational last week. It's yet another story, same old story with Christo Lamprecht, isn't it, Jack?
It really is, man. I feel so bad for this dude that every time he is on the precipice of winning a tournament. He's already won three, so it's not like he hasn't done it already. But he was second going into the final day in water at Watersound, and he put up. He still was under par. He went 71, 65, 71, and lost by a stroke to finish T2 to Gordon Sargent of Vanderbilt. It was absolutely incredible, and then Gary Albright of Florida State. The team as a whole, though, did fantastic. Hiroshi Tai shot a 66 in the final day, finished seventh overall, and that vaulted us to T2 overall in the entire tournament. We finished 9 shots back behind Vanderbilt, who was far and away winning this tournament, so that wasn't that bad. But we tied with Florida State at T2, and we were 5 shots ahead of Virginia. So overall, like in terms of this is a very standard, high-performing Georgia Tech performance on all fronts. So very, very proud of how we did. Liefrecht was T2. Bartley Forrester finished tied 37th. Cale Fontenot tied 14th. Carson Kemp, not his greatest day. Didn't have to count him for the standings. Aiden Tran finished. He's was playing as an independent. Finished tied 37th. So it was a good round. It was good. This is what you want to see. The according to the team's report, the field had seven of the top 12 te seven of the 12 teams. Wait, sorry, I'm reading this wrong. There's a lot of ranked teams. That's all that matters. There's just a lot of good teams there.
Good competition, good level.
Yeah. So I'm
I
all
think that's the important part.
yeah, I'm all for it. Bartley Forrester, he shot a 79 on the first day, which ain't great, but he rebounded.
That is tough.
He that's tough. That's not great. That's a lot, probably a lot of why we were not competitive for the top spot at this tournament. But that's, I mean, he got back into it, so totally fine. Yeah. Pacing well, coming with ACCs coming up in about a month.
Makes sense to me. Let's finish up talking about Club Lacrosse.
Yes,
Mr. Grant.
lacrosse, the men's team is up to number two in the country after a 23-2 win over Alabama. I'd say that's pretty good. I believe Brooks Barrow had 7 goals on 12 shots. Joseph Rose 6 on 6. So yeah, that's extremely decent. They are a wagon this year, or so it seems. They get New
Every
Hampshire, and
year, Jake, every
one of these
year, and
years they're
then
going to
you.
win it all. You know, one could dream.
It's the same thing with golf. One of these years, they're gonna have to get over the hump.
Odds are in their
Hopefully,
favor.
it's this
Like,
year
you
for
get enough attempts, like you think you get through, but we'll
statistically,
see.
at some point, they just have to win. That's just how the law of large numbers
Just beat the
works.
Dodgers, win the NL West like 13 times in a row, and eventually you'll get one. Or the Braves in the 90s, you get
I was
one.
gonna say, Mr.
How
Braves fan.
are the Barbs not the first reaction to that one?
Because the Dodgers have the longer streak right now, but that's just that, whatever.
That's called recency bias, youth. But yes, Club Lacrosse is gonna get over the hump one of these years. They're a very good team, and they brought their, I was gonna say finishing boots, but they don't really score with their feet. It's like finishing sticks. I think
I don't
that's what
think
I'm
that's
gonna go
legal
with
to
on this
like
one.
kick it in the goal, is it? I don't know.
I hope not.
I just go woo, you know, that's my
That's a different
lacrosse
sport,
expression.
actually. I hear that the people pay a lot of money to watch the other sport, so I'm told.
I've got a very random sporting bit of news to close us out before we go.
Go for it.
Local notable other school, Barry College has qualified for the NCAA Men's Division III Basketball Championship. So in case you need
That's
some
cool.
February madness, the bracket has just dropped for D3, so go check that out.
Where is the D3 Final Four this year? Is it also in the same building as the D1 Final Four?
Nope, it is in the basketball heartland of Fort Wayne, Indiana. I say that not sarcastically because Indiana is the heartland of basketball, but
Legitimately, not sarcastically,
yeah, that is just.
considering that they hosted all the Indiana schools hosted the bubble tournament. So
Also, have you
there's
seen the
only one place
movie
where you can pull that off.
Hoosiers? I recommend it if you have not seen it. Go check that out.
Is that school still named IPFW or is it now just PFW?
I think it's PFW.
That's a shame. That's
Beautiful.
unfortunate.
Are they getting rid of IUPUI too? I don't know. Yeah, it's just
Yes, that is the word on the street.
PUFW, the Mastodons, I think.
That
Go figure.
I'm calling it PFW. No one is getting me to put the U in there. That's illegal.
Hooray.
We used to be a proper country
It was
back when I.
divided into two separate universities. So there is an Indiana University, Fort Wayne. Healthcare is
What a.
Indiana, Fort Wayne. Everything else is Purdue, Fort Wayne. So
How magical would it be to have two university systems in the state? Seems like a good idea. Who's to say?
are
Who's
they.
to say, gentlemen? I think that is about it for us this week. Thank you for joining me on this hour and a half long adventure through the Georgia Tech sports ecosystem. Any other news and notes before we say goodbye?
I can confirm that Tech's baseball uniforms are not see-through.
Okay,
Oh, I
thank
don't want to
you,
think about
Jack.
that.
What's the
Thank you, not a Fanatics
having seen them in
representative.
person, Adidas is in the clear.
What's the paraphrase? Thank you, Jack. Very cool. Right, no trivia
Thumbs
this
up,
week.
two thumbs up. No trivia this week, Mr. Grant. You have
We've
the
got
con. Take us out.
plenty of places you can find us, from therumbleseat.com, or emails from therumbleseat@gmail.com. We always appreciate your comments, suggestions, ideas, all that good stuff. It does help us shape what we do here. You can always find us on Twitter at FTRS blog. I'm at JGrant98. Jack is at Jack Nicholas. You can find Section 103 there as well, at Section 103, section103.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at From the Rumble Seat, and podcasts wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Remember, rate, review, tell your friends, write us a comment, all that good stuff. We really do appreciate it, and it helps others like you find what we do. But in the meantime, we'll talk to you next week. Good night, good luck, and go Jackets.